The Night Air.
Welcome to another ABC Radio National podcast.
Breathe it in.
For more information, go to abc.net.au/rn.
The Night Air.
And then you spit. And we do this with three samples, hot, cold and warm. And what we're looking for...
J'aime ta couleur café.
Hi, welcome to The Night Air on ABC Radio National. I'm Brent Clough, and you're just in time for a coffee break. In every coffee cup, a new story. Stories about people, the environment, liberation struggles, friendship, and art.
I've been posing a few riddles this morning, Andrew. Which country on the surface of the earth has the highest per capita consumption of coffee?
Concentrate. Tell me, what is in your mind?
I see a bottle of...
Concentrate.
That's it. Aeroplane, pure coffee concentrate.
Every woman should keep in mind aeroplane, pure coffee concentrate for delicious coffee at the moment.
There's Gay and Garth Smith of Organic Products Trading Company started Cafe Femenino.
La tumba del guerrillero, ¿dónde está? Su madre está preguntando, nadie le responderá. La tumba del guerrillero, ¿dónde está? El pueblo está preguntando.
They were putting on a presentation called The Dark Side of Coffee. They work within a co-op structure, which provides a legal structure and a place to begin women's organizations. The next step is they require fair trade certification because it addresses gender issues and requires the integration of women into the organization.
Jenny, you've worked in the coffee fields as well. You've worked in areas which have been quite close to contra activity. Have there been times when you've been afraid that something might happen to you or to your group?
There are times when you hear distant gunfire and you sort of wonder what it is. You hope that it doesn't continue, because you know that if there's only a few gunshots, then obviously everything's fine, everything's going fine. We were always guarded by men carrying ominous-looking rifles, young boys carrying ominous-looking rifles, and very, very old men.
How young?
14, 15 is pretty ordinary age, but we've been assured that everybody who has a rifle does in fact know how to use it.
So I've dialed back.
I've gone, Bish, how are you?
It's gone great.
I saw the car.
I gave you a call to see if you want to have coffee.
I said, well, the phone only rang 2 seconds ago. Let's go and get coffee.
And she said, I don't have time.
And I said, but you rang 2 minutes ago. Literally 2 minutes ago. What happened in 2 minutes that you don't have time?
Time for a coffee and time to catch up with Tall.
Why don't you have time for me?
And
not that I blame Robin.
It was no longer safe to stay in the unit, so we went into the corridors near the lift.
An artillery duel and some small arms exchanges across the Green Line dividing Christian East Beirut from mainly Muslim West Beirut.
The last 48 hours have been the nastiest for about 2 weeks.
And one of the neighbours, he felt like some coffee. Who wanted coffee? And I said, you're crazy. You know, you can't have coffee now.
And you've also made a complaint to McDonald's about an ad that they had regarding long blacks and short black coffees. Yeah. And the ad featured a black American...
Well, let me ask you a question. Have you seen that ad back on television?
I never saw it in the first place, so no. I've never seen it.
The actual... the ruling body on the for the advertisements on television, they ruled that it wasn't offensive, but McDonald's was very concerned and they withdrew it. So the image of the... tall African-American man has been taken off that part of the commercial, so technically I won that one.
in some quarters you were being labelled as a nuisance, and also that political correctness had gone too far. Do you think that? Do you think that you were being overly politically correct?
No, not at all. I speak to young people who go to nightclubs. I don't go to those places. I don't go out to a lot of places. But most of the fights at nightclubs are because people are calling Indigenous people bongs, coons, niggers. They're the start of all the big fights. People are losing teeth, getting broken jaws and being incarcerated because defending themselves against these names. You go to the football matches, I think the famous Winmar case and Michael Long, they introduced racial vilification laws, and if you call someone a nigger on the football field, you can be fined $10,000 or given a six-week suspension.
We are the second biggest coffee drinkers per capita in the world, apart from Finland, which is number one, which is pretty good. Pretty good thing, I think. Definitely.
Oh, very nice. Perfect.
Beautiful. Mm.
Oh, my God. I have to have coffee to cope, to exist. I need it what do you call that when you make up things in your mind? Think!
I mean, as a result of the coffee book, people, one question, a lot of people say, well, where can you get the best cup of coffee? And, it's such a personal thing. Coffee mediates, personal relationships. It's a relationship you have to your local, cafe person. How you drink your coffee is such a personal thing. That it's horses for courses. But
you in the book tell us that there's the University of Coffee in Naples who have identified over 1,000 separate coffee flavours. This is unbelievable. Mm. That's taking obsession to new heights, isn't it?
Well, it is in a way, and I think they've set a kind of a standard for an espresso coffee. So, the amount of grounds that you use, the temperature at which the hot water is forced through, it should be, 87 degrees Celsius for, 25 seconds, and it should be drunk at 67 degrees centigrade. I mean...
The night air.
There's a type of cat that lives in Indonesia and also in South America that eats the cherry which the coffee beans are in. And what will happen is it will digest the fruit and the skin and the pulp, but it will actually defecate out the beans. And they're highly prized by a lot of people.
No business, no power, no corruption, no business being big enough, no corruption, no.
Coffee is probably the only income for many areas of rural East Timor.
East Timor's coffee industry is under serious
collapse
threat.
Altogether.
Collapse altogether.
Collapse altogether.
The World Wildlife Fund says many who enjoy a good brew are unwittingly contributing to the decline of the Sumatran tiger, elephant and rhinoceros.
The supply chain for coffee anywhere is very complicated. It's particularly complex in this area because there are many dozens of small buyers who eventually sell it into the coffee roaster, a large company like Nestle or Kraft or so on.
Indonesian coffee represents less than 5% of Nestle's total purchases. Of that, some 60% is sourced directly from Indonesian farmers, and we can therefore trace its origin. The remainder is bought on the open market, and determining its source can be problematic.
And he said, I'll just bring the portable stove here to make the coffee.
True.
And I screamed at him, I said that if a bomb would land, we'd all blow up from the gas. He looked at me as though I was crazy. I think by then I'd become totally irrational with the fear.
It's true.
And anyway, so he made the coffee and they were drinking coffee and just talking and everything. And the next thing, a bomb landed actually on the balcony on the same floor that we were in. Black smoke came into the building and it was going through the corridors and we couldn't breathe. So another neighbour, another person panicked, and his sister was fainting. He was taking her up to the roof, and I was saying, just let's break down some doors as we go up higher. You know, it was a six-storey building. So we got to the fourth storey, and somebody had already opened up a door there, and the windows were all broken, so we were getting fresh air. And that's when I got onto the balcony, and I didn't even think about it. I just went out onto the balcony and started calling out in English, help, fire, help, fire. And my sister looked at me and she said, are you crazy? And I said, what's wrong? She said, we're in Lebanon, we're not in Dallas. It was the 80s, you know, Dallas on TV. Anyway, I just said, I don't care where we are. I just kept calling out, fire, fire. Luckily, some foreign journalists across the road at the Napoleon Hotel could hear us. And it just got to their conscience. You know, they couldn't just leave us, you know, calling out there. We were on the balcony screaming. And so they brought ladders and started to take people down on the ladders. By that time, somebody had already put the fire out at the beginning, at the entrance of the building, so we could come down from there. But even just crossing the road was a huge risk because the bombs were still landing, and you don't know, you know, we just didn't know if the moment we were crossing a road, a bomb would land on us. So we spent the night in the Napoleon Hotel, and next morning we emerged from there, and the street was unrecognisable. Luckily, my home didn't get touched. Nothing was wrong there. So my pets were safe.
We came here without knowing anyone, without having a family here or friends, but at least we came here in a safe place and we got love from people.
One of their new friends, Anglican priest John Middleton, says it was difficult knowing how to help.
All refugees have experienced the kind of, you know, why wasn't I killed, guilt feeling, as well as that sort of great desire to be able to do something more than send a few dollars home.
Reverend Middleton came up with the idea of the Rwandan Coffee Club.
This is really giving of life to the refugees who are living here. To the people in Rwanda, it's often the difference between life and death.
With the assistance of Tasmania's only licensed fair trade coffee roaster, the club packages its own organic coffee and sells it via the internet or in offices and workplaces.
Thank you. There you go.
Fine. Isn't it interesting that people chose to meet so much in coffee shops where, I mean, they weren't licensed, let's remind anybody of that in case they'd forgotten that. So it was coffee and conversation really, wasn't it?
It really was. In the 1940s, of course, coffee shops proliferated throughout Sydney. I mean, you still had the Sergeant's Pie shops and restaurants, and you still had David Jones and Mark Foy's with their ladies' orchestras and afternoon tea and dancing. And there was also two coffee shops in Pittsford, the Mocador, or Cliff Brown, who was a great student of Oriental art, a very great friend of mine, Harold Stewart. His wife worked there. So we used to get free cups of coffee. And of course, there was also the Arabian Coffee Lounge at the Cross.
Right.
That was, if Sydney's intelligentsia, if I can use the term, went to the cross or met the cross, it would be at the Arabian.
Hello, Sahla. Welcome. You're just in time for a cup of coffee. I have it right here. I'm about to prepare it. So I'm just adding some water to the little coffee pot. So as you know, this is a ritual that we have with our coffee cup readings and even drinking coffee. The whole process is a ritual. So we start off by putting the water in the little coffee pot. We just let that boil a bit. And then I'm going to add sugar and coffee. And I'll be sharing some coffee with you too. Interesting here. Your cup is quite congested, which shows that you've got a very, very busy time ahead of you.
Well, there's a number of different methods. The Ethiopians, a bit of history here, the Ethiopians used the coffee bean, the whole coffee bean. They would use the fruit to pulp. They would crush the coffee beans themselves, mix it with goat's milk and make a porridge called bunya. They would use the husks from the actual beans and make a tea called kisha. And the other thing they would do for rations on long journeys would mix it with animal fat, the coffee beans, and crushed, and use them as almost like a chocolate ration.
وإذا ما هز الفنجان الثالث هذا الإنسان لأنه بتكون الأنثى هاي اللي قدمت له القهوة حليت بعينه متداول عند العرب أنه هذا الإنسان يخسر راسه يخسر راسه وما حد بيطالب بدمه بالله.
As well as missionary workers like Mary Donovan in Nicaragua, there are more than 4,000 internationalistas, supporters from around the world who've come to Nicaragua to help this revolution. There are at least 24 Australians working here, helping in the coffee fields, because so many Nicaraguans who normally pick coffee are now in the army fighting this war. Jenny Mortimer and Ian Butters are here with a support organisation from Australia. They've been here for 2 months now.
So what made you go through what is, for most people, considerable hardships working in coffee fields, sleeping on dirt floors, eating kinds of diets that you're not used to, and hearing gunshots in the distance at times? What made you do that?
Well, we were really interested in seeing the revolution, and we'd been in Managua for a little while, and we'd heard a lot of criticism from here, and a lot of journalists only write back from Managua, and they talk about things like queues and shortages and things like that, and dissatisfaction of the people who live here. But we found that by going to the country and speaking with campesinos there, we found that their life had been greatly improved, and we met a section of the community who were very much in favour of the Sandinistas and of the revolution. Even though their lifestyle is much lower than the people in the city still, it's gone up quite considerably since the revolution. And in fact, it is a peasant's revolution. Those are the people that have the guns, not the city folks. And those are the people whose lot has improved, whereas the people in the city have actually faced a degeneration of their living standards.
I don't know, there may have been some trouble or something that's been bothering you, and that looks like it's clearing up. Something that you need to talk to somebody about or confront. There's a need to air out a few things there, okay? Once you do that, it's going to relieve a lot of tension and make things a lot easier in your communications and in your life.
From the last article that I read, it was about $600 a kilo.
Why?
The flavours that it exudes. Okay, so They've been washed, of course, before
the roast. So.
And I think the roasting bit gets rid of the other nasties. But they believe that it gives it a certain type of flavour. And to me, I've had it. It does give it a bit of an overall, almost not a, you wouldn't say gamey quality, but it's an essence that is quite unique, hard to describe.
Did you go back for a second cup?
No, just the one was fine, I think, at that stage. I'll never look at my cat in the same way again.
See, that time in Sydney, it was very hard to get a decent cup of coffee. You couldn't, really. Used to be a shop by the name of Mockbell. I don't know if you remember that. Maybe you don't. Mockbell, but they used to make the coffee at the Essence Coffee. Oh, was it terrible stuff.
Contains no chicory, has the full delicious flavour and aroma of fresh roasted coffee.
Less noise is better, I think. A lot of people really, really screech their milk, you know, like fingers on a blackboard.
So, Mr. Monroe went in to see Mr. Basil one day and tell him that, oh yes, he was willing, the firm was willing to put percolator, you know, it was too firm, and to provide the coffee, and you could pay him so much every month. So that's how he started. Jeanne, my friend, she got him. So Mr. Basil said, yes, but who's going to work? So my friend said, well, Simone is here. She's got no job. She'll work. He said, well, he said, I can't give her much. He said, I can give her £1 a week. So my friend said, well, that's better than nothing. Anyway, we did that for Mr. Basil. And in 2 years' time, believe me or not, but Mr. Basil built himself a beautiful home in Pennant Hill. He had everything was come from America. All that in 2 years' time. So you can imagine how much I work in there. Myself, I used to get there at 7 o'clock in the morning and I used to stay till midnight working. Then I used to walk up William Street to get back home. Next morning, 7 o'clock again. For that. All that for £1 a week.
It looks good. A lot of really nice people. Looks like you're having some good times ahead with, you know, a good social life. Just with friends, you know. It's keeping you occupied and happy and entertained and busy and buzzy.
I remember once we had to get some new caps and plates, and it used to be a boy from the islands by the name of Guy. And I asked that guy to come with me downstairs to get some caps. And we would just come down the step and we could hear click, 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 click. It was rats jumping from one case to the other of cups and plates. I got such a fright.
Were there many rats in Sydney in those days?
Oh, there was a lot of rats. When finished work at night time, you could see the rats running in the gathering in King Street. Oh, it was everywhere. Well, on one night, I remember in George Street, they caught 152 rats in one night.
Funny too, because I've come from the city, which is a big difference, you know, how people like their coffee comparing to suburbans in the city. Half of them have got no idea. A lot of them do have their own machines at home, yeah, and grind their own beans and all that kind of stuff, but yeah, I think it's more laid-back approach in the suburbs for sure. Definitely.
Coffee Break was produced by Nadjat El-Ghorli. Thanks to Jirin Journey, a community cultural heritage and contemporary arts production, part of the Watan project of the Powerhouse Museum in Sydney, in partnership with ICE, Information and Cultural Exchange, and the Parramatta Heritage Centre, with a bit of funding from the Australia Council. Thanks too to the staff at the Glasshouse Cafe in Marrickville, ABC Archives, Diane Dean and John Jacobs. For more details, you can go to our website at abc.net.au/rn/nightair, where you can also download our most recent shows in frothy hi-fi stereo.
Two mochaccinos, two double espressos, cappuccino, medium roast.
You've been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.